Good morning. Welcome to our Monday morning chapel. Maybe a little more difficult to find a seat today. We have a number of grade school children here with us today in the balcony from Mount Olive. Welcome to all of you. This morning we'll be using the Office of Matins. You'll find beginning on page 109 in the front part of your hymn book. Before we begin, however, we'd like to honor a prayer request on behalf of a young man named Peter Kratz, who's 34. He's a 2006 graduate of Bethany in biology and has a wife and two children, close friend of many on our campus. Peter went into cardiac arrest this morning and is in an induced coma at a hospital in St. Paul, and they are monitoring Peter to see if he has any brain damage. So let's keep him in our prayers today as we begin. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we come before your throne of grace on behalf of your child, Peter. Bless those who now provide him with medical care, that they may properly diagnose his condition and bring healing to his body according to your will. Be with his wife, Ashley, and his children. Comfort all of them with the knowledge that all things are in your hands for the eternal good of your saints. Teach us to appreciate the health you have granted us, and especially the spiritual health you provide through faith in your Son, our Redeemer, through whom our prayers ascend. Amen. Please rise and join me then in the confession of sin. Dearly beloved, we've come together in the presence of God, our Heavenly Father, to render thanks for the great benefits that we have received at his hand, to set forth his most worthy praise, to hear his holy word, and to ask for ourselves and on behalf of others those things that are necessary for our life and salvation. Oh, come, let us worship him. Let us kneel and bow down before him. Let us confess our sins with penitent hearts and obtain forgiveness by his infinite grace and mercy. Lift up your hearts with joy. The Almighty and merciful Lord has granted us pardon and forgiveness of all our sins, grace for true repentance and amendment of life, and the comfort of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lesson for today is from St. Paul's second letter to Timothy, the fourth chapter, beginning with verse 1. I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you, be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry.
Praise you, Lord.
be seated. Many years ago, while watching a Bethany soccer game, I was stung by a wasp on the back of the neck and found out very quickly that I was allergic to the venom of that wasp. As I went home, I felt that I was kind of getting tingly, and I looked in the mirror and I had a rash developing all across my face and down my neck and under my chest. So I quickly went to the clinic nearby, and the nurses checked me out, took blood pressure, things like that. And I had to wait for about 20 or 25 minutes for a doctor to come in. And it was a very awkward time sitting in that little room, waiting and waiting for this diagnosis. I'm sure you've had to do that at some point, where you have a doctor waiting to come and see you. And possibly he has on his chart or some study that's been done a way to properly diagnose your problem. A doctor that comes into that little room with the intent of minimizing your condition is not actually going to help you very much. It will never serve to help you. He must deal with your illness in all of its ugliness and in all of its absolute truth and honesty if you're going to have any hope of being cured. St. Paul, in writing to a young pastor, Timothy, is saying that that same thing is true when it comes to people's spiritual conditions. When Christ comes to us through his word and through the mouth of a pastor, he does not approach you or should not approach you with the intent of minimizing our spiritual condition, minimizing the problem of our sin, because that will never help us. Instead, he must deal with our sin in all of its ugliness and all of its truthfulness and honesty if we're going to have any hope of standing before God on Judgment Day. When it comes to the medical profession, doctors are actually taught and schooled how to do this, how to approach people with horrible news. And they spend time actually figuring out how to break that difficult news to people. Listen to how it is spoken to us regarding spiritual matters. Paul says to young Timothy, this pastor, "I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus," and this is why, "who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom." In other words, Judgment Day is coming. "Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching." I've often thought that that has to be one of the hardest parts of being a doctor, is having to break bad news to somebody. Maybe that they have a heart condition or some kind of tumor or maybe cancer. That's got to be very difficult. I bet they agonize before they go into that little room that we're sitting in waiting for them to come and see us. And yet, bottom line is they have to maybe do it gently, but they have to be honest and have to be truthful if they're going to help us. Same is true for the pastor. The head of our seminary years ago, a man by the name of Norman Madsen, once wrote this: "The true preacher of God's word will pity those upon whom its harsh judgments must fall." Now, let's go to the side of the patient. Imagine the patient saying to himself, "Well, I don't want to hear this. I didn't come here today for you to tell me this. I'm going to go find a doctor who tells me precisely what I want. And even if the next doctor tells me the same thing you just told me, I'll keep looking until I find the doctor that tells me that I'm okay. There's probably one out there." Listen to what Paul says about hearers of God's word. "The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth." Years ago, when I was a pastor of a congregation, there was a woman whose parents came to me and said, "Our daughter is cheating on her husband, and she's actually moved in with a boyfriend and left her wife and children now. She's committing adultery. Would you please go talk to her?" She was one of my members. So I did. I sat down and met with her, and I told her, I asked her, I said, before you come to communion again, I want you to repent of this sin before you come and take the Lord's Supper." And she said, "Well, I don't want to." And I said, "But you must, and I'm not going to serve you the Lord's Supper until you repent." And she said, "Well, I'll just go to another church." I said, "You can go to another church. You can probably find a pastor that says this is okay, but it doesn't change what God says." She did. She went and found another church. Her parents came and told me about it, so I contacted the pastor. And I said to him, I explained the situation, and he said, well, in this day and age, I don't think you can hold people to their marriage vows. She certainly found what her itching ears wanted to hear. True theology and true theologians, true pastors, will always be telling you the honest truth, preparing you for the day of judgment. Charlatans are those who throw the truth aside in order to make you feel better. And here's why that's so important. Because God and God alone in His Word, spoken through the mouth of His preachers, God alone has the only antidote for the problem of our sin. And that is to bring us to the cross, to bring us to where our Savior shed His holy blood to atone for all of those sins. That same word that so sharply goes into our hearts and diagnoses our illness, our spiritual illness, is the very beautiful, comforting word that brings us the gospel, the good news of our salvation, that comforts us with the righteousness of Christ, that gives us the hope of everlasting life through faith in Him. Imagine somebody who actually has been cured of cancer because of a diagnosis and treatment. How they look back on that first appointment in the doctor's office and how difficult it was, and yet now they look back upon it with joy because they've been cured. So it will be for us in heaven someday, who had to be told honestly the truth about our condition so that we would be led to the beautiful work of our Savior and what He's done for us. How happy we will be someday for that accurate diagnosis. Amen. Let us rise as we continue with the Kyrie. Excuse me, with the Te Deum.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank you that of your boundless grace, for the sake of your Son, you have given us the Holy Gospel and have instituted the Holy Sacraments, that through them we may have comfort and forgiveness of sin. We beseech you, grant us your Holy Spirit, that we may believe your word, and through the Holy Sacraments, day by day, establish our faith, until we at last obtain salvation. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever.